All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set for a very intriguing bout at BKB 33, which goes down on July the 29th, and that World Middleweight Championship is up for grabs as CJ Mills steps into the ring against Dan Lurwell. And great having Dan on the show. How's everything going there, man? You having a good day so far?
Yeah, I finished work, come training, and I've literally, now we've won, like, just finished. Literally, now this minute, it's really called a great time.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, and it seems like a great time in the career in general, just with you being the BKB British middleweight champion and now vying for that world middleweight title, which is vacant. Like, what was the, I guess, first set of thoughts and feelings you had when this bout offer came your way? I imagine you were excited.
Yeah. I fought, I was world champion before, and I obviously lost it. I was quite a bad patch, but I lost. And I think a few guys got asked to fight, and CJ Mills stepped up to play. I'm the only one to beat him, and he had a few wins after me. So yeah, it should be an interesting fight.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it there. It's been a cool arc, just like. Like you said, not unfamiliar with BKB world title fights, like with Mason Shaw and certain individuals like that. But, I mean, it seems like a very redemptive kind of story because you're very much getting back into that picture. Like, we're talking about having previously held great accolades and now kind of being in this spot. Like, how does it feel to kind of, like, rebound it and got yourself back to this position?
It's great to be back in this position, but like I've always said, I literally, the only reason I fight for is to raise awareness for autism. So the belts are just a bonus. If I end up fighting for a belt and I win it, it's amazing. It's a great feeling. But yeah, it's like a bonus to me, to be honest. I just love to fight, I love raising awareness for autism, and I just keep on going as long as I can, and try and get more titles under my belt.
So it just comes from a real, like, deep-rooted love for just partaking in the sport of bare knuckle, and the titles are kind of just like a cool little attachment to it at the end of the day, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely right, Matt. Yeah, it's just as I say, it's a massive platform for me to put autism out there, and that's what I do it for. And obviously, I like to fight as well, so it's a bonus.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on the last fight, as much as there's a lot to talk about with this next one. I mean, capturing that British gold and kind of securing back-to-back finishes and getting that first-round stoppage over Stuart Maddox at BKB 31. Like, what were your main takeaways from that one there?
To be honest, I was quite shocked because I know Stu, he's a tiny boxer. I think he's had over 100 fights altogether and in different things like MMA, pro boxing, amateur boxing. He's had over 100 fights. I think he's had about 8 fights in BKB. Very experienced guy. And I thought it was going to be like a 5-round grueling chess match. But it turned out that I caught him quite early and he went down. And that was the end of that. So yeah, it was a good night. We don't get paid for overtime, you know? We don't get paid for overtime over here. So the quicker the better.
Yeah, it seemed like a consummate performance from my layman kind of perspective, but a very intriguing fight coming up here, and even especially so in the context of it being a rematch. And I mean, I feel like a lot has changed since March of 2019 when you got that third round stoppage over CJ Mills at BKB 16. So kind of curious to get your perspectives on like what you'd say the big differences are between yourself and Mills heading into the rematch.
Yeah, the big difference in myself is that I'm in great shape now. I'm constantly training. I'm constantly dieting. Even when I'm out of camp now, I'm still training, I'm still ticking over, which I never used to do. We bought a lot more experience now. It should be a better fight. It should be a better skill fight. And, I just hope I get the win. I'm just there to get the win, that's all. And, it should be entertaining to the fans. The last fight, I think, is one of the most viewed fights in BKB history.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, definitely a very well-regarded fight. And I saw an interview that you had there a little bit ago where you were saying your favorite matchup was actually that first Mills fight because you were like a huge underdog going into it and you really showed yourself in that in a lot of different regards. I mean, it's a very interesting dynamic this time out. Like, how does the, I guess, complexion of this fight differ now? Because, like we're talking about, it's like you were a big underdog going into that initial fight, but it seems like you're the one that kind of has the momentum now. Not that your opponent doesn't, but do you think the complexion of this fight is altogether different this second time out?
Some people sort of think I'm the underdog. I'm not a big Eddie guy, I'm not a very confident guy, and I love being the underdog, but I don't see how I'm the underdog this time. After I stopped Mills in quite good fashion. I'll box Mills through the fight as well. Sometimes he did catch me, with a cold jab. I went down, got straight back up. But yeah, he's going to be in great shape. I'm in even better shape than what he was when I fought him. Much better shape. I'm in a better place mentally, physically. I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident this time. I wasn't so confident last time, but I think this time it's going to be a. It's going to be a different story. I think I'll win as a favorite this time rather than the big underdog.
Yeah, and I love how you use your platform. Like, I love how much you are really an advocate for, you know, so many different things, like, related to, you know, people on the autism spectrum and championing a lot of relevant efforts in that regard. Can you kind of talk a bit about that? Because I love the, you know, connectivity there and stuff like that, and the advocacy. I think it's a great way to use the platform.
We had a son, Theo, and we could tell something wrong, like 18 months old. We had health visiting. They sent him some tests. It took about 6 months of tests. He got diagnosed with autism. And what shocked me was that I knew nothing about it. Me and my wife did meet. My ex-partner, we knew nothing about autism. And it quite scared me, to be honest with you, because I thought, like, my son's on the spectrum now. He's been diagnosed with autism, severely autistic, and I know nothing about it. And I really never heard anything about it. So after settling down, and I think Theo was 3 or 4, I started reading up on it and started looking into stuff and started seeing that it was needed a much more awareness out there because there was hardly anything out there. I knew I could fight. I packed in fighting at the time. I packed in for a couple of years. So I went back on the boxing scene. I went back unlicensed boxing to raise some money for autistic charities and raise awareness for autism. I rose quite a lot of money and I rose quite a lot of awareness on the underground scene, unlicensed scene. My mate James Lilly was fighting for BKB. I was literally BKB just to get on that platform to raise awareness. And I fought Peter Radford. He's a veteran at the time in BKB, been fighting a long time for him. He fought in the first BAD, I think it was called then as well. And I knocked him out in the first round. I went in there as a massive underdog as well, because he was like, have you ever seen Peter Radford? He's like, they call him Little John, he's about 6'7". So, he's not a small guy. And I'll never forget it. I'll tell you the story about it quickly. I never forget it. I didn't see him in the weigh-in. No one's seen him in the weigh-in. He obviously wanted my change room. So, I was in the ring. I walked up to the ring first. And I knew he was going to be tall. But this guy stepped out. He was absolutely shredded in muscle. I mean, he wasn't an ounce of fat at him, and he's like 6'7". I'm looking at him. I'm looking at my coach, and I'm saying, that's not him, surely. And he was. So it was a bit of a shock first seeing him when I was in the ring waiting for him to come in. But it went my way, so it was a good night. And that's how the ball started rolling with BKB. And I'm on my 10th fight now.
Yeah, I just love the journey, because that was kind of what I was reading in some of the source material there. Just such a great story, and you're obviously thriving now. I mean, you've had some great fights, like the Ricky Nelder fight was.
I mean, like, the autism awareness we've raised, the autism acceptance, we even BKB, and even got AIC, and now it's called AIM, sorry, Autistic Inclusive Meets. They come every show to watch. If I'm there, I meet them all. If I'm fighting, I meet them all. I have two autistic boys walking in. My world title fight now, I've met thousands of people through it as well. I met a guy named Reese. He got two autistic sons. We're very similar people. Both, you know, a troubled past in a prison and stuff like that. He ended up going in the army. I ended up sorting my life out to get a good job, fighting. And yeah, it turns out we both got autistic sons, and we just hit it off as soon as we met, and his son come up to watch us this time now, and he's walking me out, which is amazing. And again, I mean, this fight now alone, if it raises awareness to 1% to watch it, that's got to be 1,000 people. That's 1,000 people that didn't know about autism that knows about it now, which that's the way I look at it, every fight. And I tell Jim and Joe all the time, I can't thank BKB enough for the platform they give me on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to hear it. I mean, such a, you know, great story and everything like that. And I mean, yeah, it just seems like you're a proud dad in general. Like, how much does that fuel your already, like, individually strong resolve and everything like that? And are your kids largely kind of at an age where they're understanding what you're, you know, doing as a career? Like, it seems like your daughter is kind of like a teenager just a bit ago. I think I saw you had a birthday post in that regard. Like, how much is there that awareness, I guess?
But yeah, I've got a ton of an 18-year-old, you know, she's a cheeky little cat. But you know, my two kids in my world, I got a stepdaughter as well, and so I shouldn't say three kids in my world. But literally my daughter is absolutely smashing her dance. She dances. She's always constantly winning, constantly getting in top five, so she's doing well in the dance. And Theo's doing massively well in just progressing in life. I mean, speaking and singing, drawing, writing, reading. He's doing stuff that doctors thought he wouldn't do, which is fantastic. And then my eldest one, my Ellie, she's a fantastic lady. She's turned into a beautiful lady, and she's fantastic. So I'm proud of three of my kids. Very proud.
Yeah, and that's cool. You kind of are looking at it that way, because I always feel like that would be like the cool part of having kids, like seeing them kind of develop their own interests, and then you kind of can learn about a new thing from it and everything.
Hello?
Hey, sorry, can you hear me?
Sorry, but yeah, you went off then.
Oh, I was just saying, it must be a cool part about being a parent, just seeing your kids develop their own interests, and then you can learn about a new thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic, mate. You know, at the moment, I'm going through a bit of a rough time, and me and my partner split up, and I don't see as much as I want to, but that's life. It is what it is, isn't it? But I am absolutely proud of them. I've been there most of their life. I've done everything with them. I give them as much as I can. You know, people say about saving money, my motto is you can't take it with you, so enjoy it while you're here with the kids. So yeah, we go places, we do stuff. I'm immensely proud of them. That's the main thing. The three of them made me really proud.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes across, and I mean, you've obviously had experience in a multitude of different combat sports like judo and mixed martial arts, and now bare knuckle boxing. Like, what are some of the differences in how you prepare for bare knuckle versus some of these other sports? Like, do you have certain, like,
With judo, I done it from the age of about 8 years old. My father's a second Dan black belt, my uncle's a first Dan black belt, they done it all their lives. I'm a first Dan black belt at judo. I did get my first Dan. So that was my main sport. Then I went to MMA. I won a few. I think I won some of them. Not even recorded some of them. It was so long ago. I think my first MMA fight was 2008. Which that one recorded on MMA Universe. And I got about 4 or 5 fights that's not recorded on MMA Universe. So yeah, I had quite a good fighting career. You know, I've always been interested in fighting. I did amateur boxing. Boxing license, boxing. Never went pro. I could have turned pro, but I never went pro. And I just seem to fit in BKB. It just seems to fit in with me. And preparing for all of them is totally different. Like MMA is, I take my hat off them guys. I always say it because it's a full time job. The discipline you've got to have in MMA is zero to none. You can't have a 1% day off or nothing. It's, if you want to get the top in MMA, you've got to get the top to get paid. Otherwise, you're not getting paid. I mean, so, some of the guys, on the lower pro cards, they're getting paid literally £250 sometimes, £300. And they're good fighters, they're brilliant fighters, but they got to go through that to get to the top. And I take my hat off them. I really do take my hat off them, especially the youngsters. And with judo then, it's totally different again. It's just, you've got a gi on. So it's grabbing, throwing, locks, foot mat work, randori. It's a lot different. But again, but I've always said, I think the judo footwork have always helped me in boxing. Because what people understand is that judo has a lot of footwork involved in it. And when you tell people that, they're like, "Nah, really?" And it's I've got a lot of footwork in judo if you watch it properly. So yeah, that helps the boxing and the BKB as well.
Yeah, some great insights for sure, man. And I guess just being mindful of your time here, like noticing your record in bare knuckle. I mean, 6 of your 7 fights in this sport have ended inside the distance. And like I was kind of saying before, Mills is someone you've finished previously. Are we seeing the general trend of you finishing fights, ending inside the distance, continuing in this next one?
Well, I hope so. I hope I keep on throwing lucky punches. So if I throw lucky punches, hopefully they will finish early. As I said, we don't get paid for overtime, so the earlier the better. But I've been blessed with a bit of power. God have blessed me with power, and it seems to work in BKB now and again. Some days you're on off day and it don't happen. But it seems to work. And my strength and conditioning coach now is probably the best about. My boxing coach, Boxer Tricks, he's probably the best about. And Dean Gelder's my strength and conditioning coach. And them two together have made me the best person I am. I'm 36, and I'm not getting any younger. So, I'm not going to walk another 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, perhaps. And then it'll be bye-bye, Dan, in the future. But let's see what happens. But, I'm feeling the fitness I've ever been. Best shape I've ever been, and it's thanks to my coaches, the best boxing I've ever been. My sparring is great, and I feel fantastic for this fight. There's no excuses my end for this fight at all.
You're just ready for White Snake to hit the speakers and step out to the ring at this point, right?
You mentioned that. I'm ready for White Snake to hit the speaker and me to come out, and then the nerves kick in. Then they kick in, and I only listen to that song when I walk out. I can't listen to it any other time. It's one of those songs that just, it's made for that purpose, I think. So, but Mickey Ward used it a lot. I mean, Mickey Ward is Mickey Ward's song. So yeah, it's a fantastic song to walk out to, and it's probably one of my favourite songs, but I can't listen to it unless I'm walking out.
Yeah, it's been such a popular theme for you, definitely a fire up. But like I was saying, Dan, definitely want to be mindful of your time and schedule. So to that point, is there any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, I would like to thank all my sponsors. I got too many to name, but my main ones, Plant Assets, Gavin Griffiths is amazing. He's been with me a long time now, and he just can't do enough for me. ADS, TMDW, there's about 20 of them. Cooper's Arms, Premier Windows, I can't thank them all of you guys. It won't be possible without you. I especially want to thank Fighting for Autism for always promoting me and being such a great charity. And I just want to thank, I just want to thank my kids for pushing me on, and that's about it. It's just, and the promoters let me fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a very compelling rematch against CJ Mills, and definitely was excited for it before talking to you, but very much, compounding the excitement after the insights, man. So thanks so much for that. It should be a very intriguing middleweight championship fight, and very much, yeah.
It should be a good fight. I'm hoping it's going to be a crowd pleaser again. So, yeah. Can't wait now to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, July 29th going to be a great one. Definitely an awesome fight among what's looking to be a stacked event.
Birthday. Yeah, it's actually my son's birthday, July 29th. It took a lot of persuading for me to fight on that day. But yeah, you know, world title, I couldn't turn it down. So you have to be spoiled now on a Sunday and Sunday and Monday after it. So I'm going to win the title for my boy.
Yeah, well, that's an awesome anecdote. I mean, happy birthday to him in advance and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, definitely a compelling component to the fight too, man. Thanks so much for the insights, though, like I was saying before, but can't hurt to reiterate. You have a good rest of your day, Dan. And yeah, looking forward to this one. Thank you.
Thank you for your interview, mate. It was a pleasure speaking to you.